ਜਾਂ ਹੈ ਸੰਗ ਸਦ ਸਚਨਾ ਮੀ ਸਿਆ ਨਿਰਗਨੇ ਬ੍ਰਹਮਣੀ ਚੰਦ ਸਾਵਰਤੀ Increasing Krishna consciousness, bhaktya, by devotion, he certainly, asanga, uncontaminated, sat asati, the material world, anatmani, opposed to spiritual understanding, should be. Nirgune, in transcendence, Brahmani, in the Supreme Lord, Cha, and Anjasa, easily, Rati, attraction. Translation, the devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constantly hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ear of the devotee. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily fix in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport, this verse is especially mentioned to substantiate the devotional process of hearing the subject matter. A devotee does not like to hear anything other than subject stating the spiritual activities of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in our devotional life. The more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from the material world. The more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we increase in attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee who actually wants to make progress in devotional service and go back to Godhead must lose interest in sense enjoyment and associating with persons who are after money and sense gratification. This is the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Iskinshana nasya bhagavan bhajana mukhasya paramparam jiva. Yami Sor Bhava Sagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayani Matayoshin Cha Ahanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanatokya Sadhu. The word Brahmani used in this verse is commented upon by impersonalists or professional reciters of Bhagavatam who are mainly advocates of the caste system by demoniac birthright. They say that Brahmani means the impersonal Brahman, but they cannot conclude this with reference to the context of the words bhaktya and guna abhidanena. According to the impersonalists, there are no transcendental qualities in the impersonal Brahman. Therefore, we should understand that Brahmani means in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as admitted by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, whenever the word Brahma is used, it must refer to Krishna, not to the impersonal Brahman effulgence, Brahmeti Paramatma Bhagavan Ekshavyate. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan can all be taken in total as Brahman, but when there is reference to the word Bhakti or remembrance of the transcendental qualities, this indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the impersonal Brahman. Translation: the devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constantly hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of the devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this continues Sanat Kumar's discussion of the method of getting out of the material world and material suffering. So here again he mentions this process, which is bhakti. And particularly glorifying or discussing the qualities of the Supreme Lord, guna abhidanena. This abhidana means, of course, speaking. And guna refers to the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Because they are the qualities of the Supreme Lord, they become nectar for the ears, and therefore it says they are karnapura, like decorations on the ear. So these are not material qualities. These are spiritual qualities. And this is part of the process of bhakti. And here bhakti is modified by the word jimbabana manaya, which means increasing, or ever-increasing bhakti. So with great devotion, one hears and discusses the qualities of the Supreme Lord. And what happens by that is asanga. One becomes detached from anatmani, that is, material things, everything opposite of the soul, everything opposite of spiritual things, that is, everything material. So one becomes detached from everything material, and then the opposite is rati, which means great attachment. And what is the detachment? Attachment to the nirguna Brahman. So this looks like a contradiction, because we have hearing about the qualities of Krishna in order to become attracted to the impersonal Brahman. So as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the impersonalists will take this verse to mean just that, but it is a contradiction of terms, because how can developing attraction for the qualities of the Lord lead to attraction for something without qualities? It looks very, very contradictory. Yeah? So in this context, we cannot take that meaning. So normally, of course, when we talk about nirguna Brahman, that's exactly what we mean, the impersonal Brahman. But here, it's contradictory, because we're using the process to enter into that state of rati, actually, for the impersonal Brahman. So ultimately, in realization of nirguna Brahman, there's no such thing as rati at all. But we do have this word in relation to devotion. So technically, rati is often equated with bhava. Rati and bhava are the same thing. And this, of course, is a very advanced stage of attraction to the Lord. in which one can actually perceive the Lord. So why do we use the terms Brahman and Nirguna in relation to the Supreme Lord? Of course, one we can say is, well, the Kumaras are the power of Gyan Shakti, so they preach all about Jnana, so therefore they'll naturally preach about the impersonal Brahman. But on the other hand, so it's a contradiction to say that bhakti produces this. Generally, the process of Nirguna Brahman is reached by the process of Jnana. By Jnana Vairagya, this will produce attraction for and merging into the Brahman. If we look at the Vedanta Sutras, there, of course, Atato Brahma Jigasa is the first sutra. You should inquire about Brahman. So the question comes up, what is that Brahman? And of course the answer is that from which everything comes. That's a little bit, of course, general. In the commentaries then, various acharyas will define that Brahman. So of course the Mayavadis and the personalists will defer the whole thing, the impersonal Brahman. And all the Vaishnava acharyas say, no, this Brahman does not mean impersonal Brahman, it means personal God. So they say Bhagavan. And of course, Baladev says it means Krishna, and Nimbarka acharya says it means Krishna. Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya will say Vishnu. And of course, it's not just a prejudice, because these words have a general application in different contexts, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Sometimes we use the word Brahman to differentiate a certain type of realization. Brahman, Paramahama, Bhagavan, impersonal versus personal. But in other cases, that word is used in a completely different way. It can refer even to Atma sometimes. So the derivation of the word is ultimately that which maintains or supports that which is very great. This is the meaning of Brahman. So therefore, it can refer to any of these aspects of the Lord, the Brahman, the Parama, or the Bhagavan aspects, if we take the word literally speaking. So, just as Lord can have so many, we can think of the Lord in different ways. He could be Nrsimhadev or Krishna or Rama, and so many other things. So, we have to be taken in a general way to mean Supreme Lord. And then he is Nirguna. So yes, the word Nirguna means without qualities, and we talk of the Nirguna Brahman. But we often see in the Bhagavatam the word Nirguna is not used in that way at all. It means simply no material qualities. And this is often the meaning given to Acharyas, for instance, Ramanujacharya in commenting on Upanishads when it says Nirguna. It doesn't mean that. It means no material qualities, not no qualities at all. So we talk about Nirguna Bhakti also. So that means Bhakti which is pure, beyond the material gunas of sattva, rajas, and tamas. We have bhakti, sattva guna bhakti, raja guna bhakti, and tama guna bhakti, but nirguna bhakti means pure bhakti, devoid of material gunas. So that in Bhagavatam, that the word is often used in this way, that meaning simply no material qualities, but specifically sattva, rajas, tamas. So automatically, of course, the Lord in any form, whether it is Brahman, Paramahama, or Bhagavan, is beyond material gunas. So therefore, when we see Nirguna Brahmani here, attraction for the Brahman with no qualities, that means actually attraction to the Supreme Lord with no material qualities, but with all spiritual qualities. As I said, the word Brahman can mean that which is great, he who is great, the greatest of all, who is the sport of everything. So if we go back and back and back, then we'll see that Brahman is there, but behind Brahman is the support of Brahman, Brahmanam Pratishtaham, I am the support of the Brahman. So Brahman is not the original source. So Supreme Lord is the source. Huh? So we can say Paramatma, of course, but then behind the Paramatma is only an expanded feature of the Lord for creation and destruction in the material world. So behind that, then we have the forms in the spiritual world. These are called Bhagavan. So therefore we can say Bhagavan is ultimately the support of everything else. The support of the spiritual world, the support of Brahman and Paramatma, and the support of material worlds and jivas. Everything is under Supreme Lord. So we can take Brahman as equivalent to Bhagavan. If we want to go further, of course, then we can say that in the forms of Bhagavan, we also have gradations according to how much qualities are manifested in those different forms. They're all God, so they're all equal in one sense. But because they manifest different amounts of qualities, we grade them. And so when we do that, then we put all the avatars in line, and ultimately we come up with Krishna on top. We call him Swayam Bhagavan. Now, some people may not want to do this. They'll say, okay, God is God, why do we have to differentiate and say superior or whatever? But in terms of manifestation of qualities, we have to distinguish, just as, yes, we say there, we admit Krishna is there, Ramchandra is there, and Vishnu is there. They're different in form in one sense. They have different activities. They have different moods, even though they're all God. So we have to differentiate. So, when we do that, we differentiate and we list qualities, then objectively we'll see that Krishna manifests some extra qualities that no one else manifests. Plus, he manifests everything that everybody else manifests. So therefore, we give him that special position and call him Swayam Bhagavan. That does not mean he creates other forms like Nrsimha, because they're all eternal, they're all God. He doesn't create anything. Nobody is temporary. Yeah? So they're all forms of the Supreme Lord, and they're all perfect. Yeah? But he manifests and reveals all possible qualities in God in the fullest way. Therefore we call Swayam Bhagavan, the original form of God. Huh? So then he's ultimately the Supreme Brahman. In Vishnu Purana and other scriptures, it often talks about the Param Brahma in human form, Nara Akriti. So Krishna is the Supreme Brahman with a human form. Of course, you can say Ramchandra also has a human form. But Krishna is more human because he does not display the powers of God explicitly to the extent that Ramchandra will do, especially in his Vrindavan pastimes. He doesn't display them explicitly to people. So, and he acts in a very human way. So the designation of Parabrahman is often used for Krishna. And he has a human form, a very human form, intrinsically. So he's not beyond gunas. He has gunas, but they are not material gunas, that's all. So he has all wonderful qualities, which are beyond sattva, rajas, and tamas. So, of course, the whole point of the Bhagavatam is to glorify ultimately Krishna. Though all the forms are wonderful, all the forms of Bhagavan are wonderful, and we distinguish Bhagavan from Paramatma and Brahman, still, the proposition at the beginning of Suta Goswami is that what we have to do is glorify Krishna. This is the whole point of Bhagavatam, to make it special, outstanding. Different from every other Purana, is to glorify Krishna especially. And hearing and glorifying Krishna is the process of deliverance in Kali Yuga. The question asked by the sages, Nagasarani, what do we do now that Kali Yuga has started? So the answer is, Bhagavatam has risen like the sun in the darkness of Kali Yuga. It will destroy the ignorance. But then, what is the whole point of Bhagavatam? And that question is answered by Narada Muni when he tells Veda Vyas that your work is incomplete until you glorify Krishna. So therefore the whole point of Bhagavatam is ultimately to glorify Krishna, describe his qualities, describe form, describe his activities. And, of course, Sukadeva does that. He does the Abhidhamma, Guna Abhidhamma, or Guna Lila Abhidhamma, and Parikshit hears. So, therefore, we get the value of that secondarily, because we can also hear and talk about the wonderful qualities and pastimes of Krishna. So, for the people of Kali Yuga, that is the means. Bhakti is the means, but the means in Kali Yuga is not just bhakti, but to hear about and glorify the pastimes and qualities of Krishna. That is the ultimate solution in Kali Yuga. So every other process is secondary to that. Of course, in the previous section, we saw that Prithu was glorifying Varnashram and Karma Yoga, etc., and governing properly and protecting the citizens and having them follow Dharma and all these things. Yeah. But here we have explicitly that ultimate process is bhakti. But this is the process of delivering people. This was the question asked, and this is the answer. Not Karma Yoga, not Jnana Yoga, not Astanga Yoga, but Bhakti Yoga. This is what will deliver everybody. So this is the principal means. Everything else is secondary to that. So he says here, very easily, anjasa, that rati will develop for the Supreme Lord, full of all wonderful spiritual qualities. Why? Because by hearing about the Lord with all of his wonderful qualities, it is easy to get that attraction. In the material world, we have senses, material mind, intelligence, whatever, body. And what do the senses do? They look for objects. They look for sense objects. They look for enjoyment. They look for wonderful things in the material world to get excited about, stimulation for the senses. Yeah? They're looking for qualities in objects. Yeah? And then the mind takes them all together and says, this is good or this is bad. And then it accepts some and rejects others, and then it goes, does actions to attain those objects. Yeah? And enjoy those objects. So this is what happens in the material world. So, our whole material body is bent on exploring the qualities of material objects and enjoying them. So, this of course is bondage, we know. We have senses, attractive sense objects, pulling the mind away, pulling the intelligence away, and then your intelligence gets bewildered, and then you lose your memory, then you fall into the material whirlpool. That's what happens. This is called ignorance. This is the position in the material world, position of suffering. And of course, the whole point here is, how do we get out of the suffering of the material world? So, we have the various processes. We have Karma Yoga. And let us engage everybody using the body and their senses. Don't worry too much about the transcendental lessons. Keep them engaged and control their senses. This is Varnashram. Let everybody just work and control their senses a little bit. Put them in rules and regulations like that. So, don't concentrate on the spiritual aspect so much, but ultimately restrain the senses and gradually get them in that direction and raise them in the gunas, raise everybody in the gunas. And when they come to sattva-gun, quality of sattva-gun is prakasha and sukha. Prakasha means knowledge. What knowledge? Not material knowledge, obviously. They can distinguish atma from body. And sukha means, now that they enjoy the material world, they get happiness internally. That means they control their senses and they have some inner happiness from Atma. So this is the quality of sattva guna. So by following this system of Karma Yoga, eventually you get to that stage. Then you're qualified for jnana. You can investigate, oh, what is Atma? And study the Vedanta Sutra. Huh? Do jnana. And of course, Krishna says better than jnana is yoga. Better, so you can practice that. But final process is bhakti, according to Krishna in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita. Of all the different processes, finally says, you worship me, that is the best. So,
These are the processes to get out of the material world and control the senses. So the first process was engage the senses and gradually rise in the gunas. That's karma yoga. Second process is stop the senses by intelligence through jnana. And in this way, destroy the subtle body. Third process is astanga yoga. Stop the mind by meditation. Stop the functions of the mind. Chitta vritti nirodha. That's the first sutra of Patanjali. Stop the functions of the mind. What happens? Atma jnana. We realize Atma, we destroy the subtle body. So, the first process is the process of engagement. That's why Krishna tells Arjuna, oh, you're qualified for jnana, do karma yoga. Third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But, that's the elementary process. You got to go beyond that because it's limited to the material world, obviously, karma yoga. You don't go beyond Brahmaloka by that. So then we have the other processes, jnana and yoga. What are they? Restricting processes. Stop the senses, stop the mind. So it's good because the cause of material bondage and ignorance is senses, mind, intelligence, going into the material world, dragging it like the horses and the chariot and all that. So we have to stop everything. So then it's logical. Let's stop the mind, let's stop the senses, etc. How do we stop the senses? Very difficult. So at least we isolate ourselves. Go to the forest or whatever and don't see objects or whatever. Limit the food, limit everything. So we do great austerities. Concentrate the mind, control the senses. So jnana and yoga do this. They stop the senses, stop the mind. But it's a difficult process. So then Krishna recommends bhakti. He says, even if you're not qualified for jnana or yoga or even karma yoga, you can do bhakti. But it's a higher process. But more people can do it. People with lower qualifications can do it. People doing karma yoga or people not even doing karma yoga can do it. So this is a different type of process completely from the other processes. It doesn't require the qualification of others, but it's on a higher level. That sounds very strange because usually the higher thing will need higher qualification. So we go from karma yoga to jnana yoga to astanga yoga, then bhakti yoga. So that's why Krishna says very few people out of thousands and thousands of people, hardly one knows me in truth. It's very few. But then Krishna says everyone can do bhakti. Women Vaishnava Sudras can attain the Supreme Lord. And in Bhagavad says even the Kiratas and Hunas and Andras and whatever, people of Andhra, even they can become devotees. So anybody becomes a devotee, even if you're not in the Varnashram system. And by doing that, by even chanting the name once, you're superior to the Brahmins in the Varnashram system. So therefore it's considered to be a very elevated process, but also a process which reaches down, but includes everybody. So that is the unique quality of bhakti. So what is different is that unlike jnana and yoga, we do not restrict the senses. Our fight to restrict the senses, we engage the senses. So as Lord Chaitanya said when he took sannyas, real sannyas means not to restrict or give up or renounce, but it means to give everything to Krishna. So we engage our senses for Krishna. So we use the senses, but we use them in a different way. That's all. So instead of stopping the senses in jnana and yoga, we use the senses. So in that sense, it's something like karma yoga, where you use the senses also. What is the difference? The difference is that we're focusing on giving pleasure to Krishna. In karma yoga, we're concentrating on using our senses for ourselves still. But a little bit of recognition of the Lord somewhere in the background. But in bhakti, we are directly recognizing the Lord. So therefore, we have major processes of using the senses for the Supreme Lord. That is hearing about the Lord, chanting His name, glorifying His qualities and pastimes, etc. So these are processes of directly engaging the senses in Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. So these actions are therefore easier than the actions of restriction, but unlike Karma Yoga, which also engages the senses, it is directly related to the Supreme Lord without desire for enjoyment ourselves. So that's what makes it different from Karma Yoga. So this is the recommended process, and therefore it's said here, it is very easy. It is easier than Jnana and Yoga to develop that detachment from the material world by developing attachment for the Supreme Lord. So one cannot really do that in the process of Jnana because we can't become attracted to something with no qualities. Very difficult to become attracted to something with no qualities and no form and no activities. Very difficult. So then in yoga, the same thing. Very, very difficult to develop that attraction for something without quality. So, whereas in bhakti, the Lord has qualities. Unlike in karma yoga, we are focusing on the Supreme Lord, and those qualities are not material qualities. So in the process of attraction to those qualities, we become spiritualized. If we meditate on material things, of course, our senses go to material objects, with material qualities, for our enjoyment, then this is the cause of bondage and ignorance. But we concentrate on the Lord and His qualities, which are spiritual, then we get the opposite. We destroy the bondage without any extra endeavor. Right? So that is why this process is said to be easy. One develops attraction for that Supreme Lord. And Krishna, of course, is special because Krishna manifests all the qualities in full, and therefore he's more attractive. So we say Krishna means all attractive. So more than any other form, we have the qualities in Krishna. So this makes the process easier. Then, Lord Chaitanya, of course, is called Mahapadanya, so he's most merciful. He also, by his Shakti, makes the process easier again. Not only makes it easier, he gives a specific method, and that is the name of Krishna. So the name is non-different from Krishna. So whatever is in Krishna is in his name. So here it talks about glorifying the qualities of the Lord. So if we chant the name of the Lord, we're also glorifying the qualities, because within the name of the Lord is his form, his qualities, his activities, and his rasa. So the name is complete. So this is the specific process given in Kali Yuga. Among the processes of bhakti, Nam Kirtan is considered to be the general process for everybody to follow. It's the easiest process. So in that sense also, the attraction for the Lord becomes easy because we have Nam Sankirtan. And not only Nam Sankirtan, it is the name of Krishna, who is all attractive. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya comes and gives this process and makes the whole process of getting out of the material world and going to the spiritual world easiest of all. Well, for a personalist, Tata Brahma Jigyasya means now it is time to inquire about the impersonal Brahman. For the Vaishnavas, it means now it is time to inquire about Bhagavan. That's what it means for Vaishnavas. Krishna, Brahman means Krishna. He is Param Brahman. Yeah, Atmagyan is often equated with Brahman. That's not complete. Is to get self-realization is equivalent to impersonalism, actually. We have to have God realization, Bhagavan realization.
Because in this aspect they are within the written Krishna consciousness.
Well, in the process of bhakti, both take place simultaneously. We don't have to first realize Atma and then go to Brahma. That is the process of going karma yoga, jnana, yoga, then bhakti, gradual process. You can do that, but it's long, many, many lifetimes you have to go through. So easier process is to bhakti. Then everything is included. We get Atma jnana, plus we get realization of the Lord.
Even in bhakti, you have to realize that it is so, you know.
Obviously. Can't go to the spiritual world with a material body.
Pardon?
You can't go to the spiritual world with a material body. You have to have a spiritual body. So you have to realize your spiritual nature. We cannot perceive God with material senses or material body. Only the Atma can do that with the spiritual senses. Well, I suppose we can say that they're non-different, so we can't say one is more merciful than the other. But in terms of practice in the material world, our access is the name, so therefore in essence it's more merciful. Since we don't see Krishna directly, but we can approach him through the name, so in that sense it's merciful. Well, the two things go together, more or less. But now, the Yuga Dharma is chanting the name of Krishna. But we cannot really separate that from hearing the pastimes. So that is why in Bhagavatam particularly, the pastimes and the qualities of the Lord is glorified, like anything. The whole process is to reveal the qualities and form and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That's what's taking place in Bhagavatam as the deliverance. So the two things go together. If we only have the name, yes, that's good, but if we don't know who Krishna is, then we are somewhat limited because we will put material or other spiritual conceptions upon that name of Krishna or form of Krishna. And then we end up with a different result. So we have like the stage of Namabhas and the stage of Sudanam. So in the stage of Namabhas, then we have ignorance and whatever. So therefore, in our practice of bhakti, though we may chant the name, our conceptions of who God is, or the form of God, etc., may be a little ambiguous, in some cases mistaken. So, therefore, the result is somewhat spiritual and you can advance, but it's a little slow process. Whereas if you have Sudanam, then you have knowledge of proper process, pure bhakti, impure bhakti, you know the difference. You know the difference between Jiva and God. You know the difference between Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. We know the difference between the other forms of God and Krishna. We know the pastimes of Krishna. So if we know that, then the chanting becomes more effective. So the two things go together, but the main process is the chanting, and then the process of hearing and glorifying the activities of the Lord go along with that. In this way, when we chant the name, we'll understand who Krishna is. If we don't understand him, then we may think, Krishna, what is it? It's a sound, only a sound. But we have to realize that Krishna is not just a sound, it's a form, it's his qualities, it's his pastimes, it's his rasa, it's everything. So the more knowledge we have through hearing, then of course we can do that. But as I said, the main sadhana is the chanting of the name. And through that, then we take advantage of the hearing about the form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord.
So really, it's not even limited in the form of the name and the Lord. So here we have to hear the sound of Krishna's name.
Yeah.
So the sound
name, and in that name is the form, the qualities, and its activities. We can't separate them. We're only going to hear the name. I'm going to not think of any pastimes, not think of any Krishna's qualities, not think of his form. then we become a personalist. What are we going to get? I'm just hearing an abstract sound and then I'm going to realize nothing. So we have to relate the things together. That's why we have the Bhagavatam, so we can appreciate Krishna. Otherwise, who is he?
So Krishna didn't come in the form of the fountain. Krishna didn't come in the form of the fountain.
Yeah, and everything's in there. But we can also use our mind to negate the quality, so that's not good. So that's why I said namabhas, we may have mistaken ideas about Krishna. So we should have the proper idea about his form and his qualities and everything. So that's why we have Bhagavatam. So yeah, that's the perfection. When you chant, then you realize Krishna, name, form, qualities, activities. That's, of course, bhava and prema. So in the process, no, we won't, but at least we practice.
It's come along with the, you know, Krishna name, form, qualities. It's come along with the chanting of the holy name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a gradual realization of the form, then the qualities, and then the pastimes. Well, I'm saying that we cannot artificially do it, but at the same time we cannot artificially reject it. So we're not going to think about Krishna's form or anything. We don't think about beautiful Krishna or all attractive nature. We just think of a sound, an abstract sound. That's also not good. Because then you end up more like a yogi or something, you know, chanting some mantra to go wrong. It's the same thing.
Who we say the process of bhakti, the process of engaging the senses in service of Krishna, that is the easiest process of self-realization. But everybody is not able to take it up. And many of them even doesn't accept that it is the process of them out.
Why they don't accept? Well, they don't have faith, they don't accept. Only people who have faith will accept.
How much if one would realize Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then only one can be engaged in devotional service.
Yeah, we have to accept something. We don't. Well, can we do accidental service? That's okay. That's a gap of supremacy, but it's a slow process of development that way.
Maharaj, when you say Krishna has manifested 64 qualities, all the 64, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna. Does he also manifested all qualities?
Yeah. But it's slightly different because his, instead of manifesting sweetness, he manifests audarja, or generosity in terms of mercy. So it's slightly different.
Krishna,
yeah. So he does all these activities, but nevertheless, even the devatas get confused. Is he really God? So though he does these things, he does it in such a way that you can interpret it in different ways. And so the people of Vrindavan don't think anything of it. Whereas in Rama's case, everybody accepts, yeah, he's Supreme Lord. So it's very explicit that his activities are those of God. Sattva gun, we can have atmagyan, but that's considered sattva, not transcendental. Atmagyan. The whole process of jnana is in sattva. If you want to get liberation from jnana, you have to give up jnana. Because it's sattva, it's a bondage. So jnana in itself cannot give liberation. The only thing that gives liberation is the Supreme Lord. And therefore you have to also do bhakti along with your jnana in order to get liberation. If you don't do it, you don't get liberation. This is according to Bhagavad Gita 11th canto.
So even if you do an offense against the law, then definitely never get liberation. This is also stated. You don't accept the lotus feet of the Lord, then you fall. You don't even get liberation. So those who offend the Lord and think that they are, and reject the form of the Lord and think they'll get liberated, will not get liberated. They also have to accept the Lord and understand that only by the Lord they can get liberation, even if they want impersonal liberation. If they actually, of course, in the material world they can get some sort of realization, but to get real liberation and not come back to the material world, then they actually have to also worship the Lord. No, not if they don't. If they offend the Lord, they cannot get liberation.
You know, Krishna exhibited different dasas at different places at different times. Doesn't other forms of the Lord display that in different places at different times?
Huh?
Different dasas. Krishna displayed different dasas in different places at different times. Like in Dwaraka, he exhibited the Ayushu Dasa, Vrindavan, the Madhura Dasa, and some other places, some other dasa. Like that, the other forms of the Lord also, according to time, place, they do exhibit different dasas. Places.
Not so much. Basically, Dasa Rasa. Ramachandra has Sakya Rasa with his brothers. It's limited to his brothers. He has Vatsalya Rasa with his parents. And that's about it. Other form, Vishnu doesn't have any parents, so it's no Vatsalya Rasa. He has Madhurya Rasa with Lakshmi. And that's about it. And the rest is Dasa again. Other forms also, maybe not so.
One of the four forms is by rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities. What is the meaning of transcending the material qualities?
Transcending means going above. Going above the material qualities. Well, of course, the many processes are there. We have the whole, let's say, chanting the name, we have different processes of bhakti, whatever. Along with that is, of course, association of devotees. And of course, devotees are on different levels. So any association is good association, but of course, the higher association, more beneficial it is. So by the mercy of Krishna and our desires, then Krishna fulfills our desires, then we can advance by that. He will supply what is necessary.
Krishna is intended with the ground regulation.
Yeah. Yeah, name is another form, non-different from the Lord. So it becomes the process of spiritual development in Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma.
Yeah, I think Mataji. Fantasy Mataji.